This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Young people are getting into the workforce later, and older people plan to keep working forever. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The job market has returned to its growth trend in June after a weak spot earlier in the spring. So we learned on Friday. Right now, midsummer is also when you'd expect teenagers out there in full force. But there's been a decline in high schoolers who look for work, part of a decades-long trend. From our Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
Lifeguarding, scooping ice cream, those classic teenage summer jobs figure prominently in the new season of the show Stranger Things.
Can I get you guys a little taste of the Cherry's Jubilee?
Back in the 80s era of the show, more than half of high schoolers were bringing in a paycheck. Today, only 35% are working. Ryan Nunn with the Brookings Institution says teens these days are spending more time on school, taking advanced classes and summer programs with an eye toward college and long-term earning potential. Teens were largely pushed out of the job market during the recession a decade ago, and they haven't really returned to the extent expected, says Nunn.
So it's sort of a shift from labor force participation to more engagement with schooling.
But in the tightest labor market in decades, many companies need all the help they can get. Walmart spokeswoman Michelle Malishok says the company is aiming new benefits like free SAT prep and college classes at teens.
It really makes sense for high schoolers to give Walmart a look.
Taco Bell has been holding hiring parties with free food and games, and McDonald's is accepting applications through Snapchat. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
On the flip side of teen employment, we have retirement or lack of it. A new poll from the Associated Press and a research arm of the University of Chicago finds that one in four Americans do not plan to retire. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this. Erica, what's behind these numbers?
The big thing is financial security. Nearly half of the adults said they aren't financially prepared to retire. And there are a few reasons for that. Some people never recovered from the financial crisis, or they just haven't saved enough. Or they have debt, housing, medical, or student loans. And on the flip side, some people like to work. And if they can, they will.
So a quarter, I mean, it's a big chunk of the population.
Yeah, and just as many people say they won't retire until after 65. It wasn't specified exactly when that would be, so they might retire at 67 or 70 to maximize Social Security benefits, or they could be at 80 or 90.
You know, are people being realistic, you think?
Well, it seems as if there's other data that backs this up. Over the next decade, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 65 to 74-year-olds are expected to be the fastest-growing segment of the workforce. But working that long isn't always feasible. People get injured or ill or have to care for others.
Erica, thank you. Checking numbers, London's FTSE is down 0.1%. The S&P future down 0.3%. NASDAQ future down 0.4%. Hong Kong down 1.5%. Market psychology this morning. The stronger employment report Friday lowers the odds the U.S. cuts interest rates soon.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next,
we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Bought a Chrysler back when it was based in Auburn Hills, Michigan. The dealer plates it came with had a big old American flag and the words, "America got my vote." Got the Chrysler home and realized the thing had been assembled in Canada with an engine made in Japan by Mitsubishi. Which brings us to the news that Honda of Japan just took 3 out of the top 5 spots in a contest for most American-made vehicles. Here's Marketplace's Jack Stewart.
If I were to ask you what you think the most American vehicle is, what would you guess?
I would think Ford, Cadillac.
Chevy American?
I'd say Dodge, Lincoln.
That's Boris Sagdiev, Dori DePoggio, and John Jackson on the streets of Los Angeles. In fact, the number one most American vehicle on Cars.com's American Made Index this year is the Jeep Cherokee, with 72% domestic parts. The second, third, and fourth spots go to Honda, a Japanese brand. The best-selling Ford F-150 pickup comes in at number 13. Industry experts like Sam Fiorani at Auto Forecast Solutions expected as much.
It's been a long time coming that the Toyotas and Hondas have been the big sellers of American-made vehicles. They've been sourcing their parts from U.S.-based suppliers for years.
They also assemble cars here, and that factors into the scores. Cars.com calculates how much each vehicle contributes to the U.S. economy by looking at where manufacturing plants are, where parts come from, and how many jobs each model creates. Kelsey Mays from Cars.com says the index shows globalization in action.
Back when we first started doing this in the late 2000s, routinely there were vehicles that were 85, 90, even 95% U.S. and Canadian content. And now the highest vehicles are pretty much at 70%.
A survey Cars.com released to complement the American-made index shows that 66% of people do want a car that contributes substantially to the U.S. economy, although that is more true for older generations. Kristen Gicek is from the Center for Automotive Research. She says the pending U.S.-Canada-Mexico trade agreement could, in the long term, change the auto industry supply chain.
The new trade agreement does have higher content standards for the percent of vehicles that have to be built in North America and the percent of vehicle content that has to be made at a fairly high wage. So that's basically has to be built in the US or Canada.
But she says even with tariffs, low-cost parts from China are always going to be cheaper.
The American consumer would have a difficult time affording a vehicle that was 100% made in the United States.
Electric car maker Tesla builds all of its cars at a factory in Fremont, California, both for the US and international markets. But Cars.com says it didn't give them enough data about its vehicles to be included for 2019. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
We're also following news of 18,000 layoffs at the global financial powerhouse Deutsche Bank, which had revealed over the weekend it's getting out of the stock trading business. Employees in Asia started getting the bad news about jobs earlier today. We'll see what happens as dawn breaks over Wall Street. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.